Official, it's Danielle Fischel,
Ryder Strong,
and Will Friedle from Pod Meets World.
Does friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste.
Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten.
Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party.
So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles.
Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
I need to tell us something.
The only reason I said I need to tell you something about what's upstairs on the top floor as well.
It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Is it
here,
yeah.
It's fine. It's obviously.
I'm so not
fine. No, it's fine.
I know, but obviously we've got to be careful. My dad's worried, isn't it?
I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. Let's deep dive into this, I suppose, quite astonishing case. So first of all, let's talk about our victims, Lois and John McCullough. They're an elderly couple, not super old, we're talking, John was 71 years of age, so we're talking about people who are in their retirement phase. You know, a point of life where hopefully you've done enough work, you've been diligent enough during your life to have provided yourself with a pension so you can just take it easy, relax, have a nice time. You know, go on day trips, go on holidays, just get to live the life that you've saved to do. They also had five daughters. They also had grandchildren. So they also had a pretty big family. At the end of the day, five children is not as common these days because understandably, it's quite expensive to raise children. But nonetheless, they'd obviously had a bustling household when they were younger and their children had grown up and for the most part moved out. John McCullough had actually been a business studies lecturer. He'd worked at Anglia Ruskin University. He was retired, but nonetheless was obviously an academic, so he's a super clever guy. He was described by his colleagues, by his friends, by people who just knew him generally, as a really caring and hardworking guy. Apparently had a massive passion for writing, for education. He had hobbies such as golf and snooker, so clearly he was somebody who'd honed his skills in those areas and arenas. Apparently one of the things that really stands out for people who knew and loved John was he had this passion for telling jokes. And he had started to struggle with ill health. So he had hypertension, he had type 2 diabetes, he had hypocholesterolemia, and he also had glaucoma, which is obviously something that's very serious because it affects the sight. And if it's not treated, it can lead to blindness. So quite a lot of health issues going on there. Lois McCullough, she was described by people who knew her as really kind, really caring, really thoughtful. And I love the statement that was made by one of her family members, which was that she delighted in her grandchildren. So clearly, for a period of time, when she was around the children and grandchildren, she was somebody who had an impact in their lives that was really positive. Also, quite old school, I would say. So she had a lot of pen pals, literally across the world. She'd written to some of them for decades. So again, what does that tell you about her character and personality? It shows a level of loyalty, consistency, somebody who likes to expand her horizons and has a lot of compassion in her heart because she's got time. She's got time to actually take moments to spend opportunities to have conversations with people all over the world that she doesn't actually physically see, but that she gets to know through that art of writing. And like I said, there is something quite old school about this couple because
when you're in your early 70s, that doesn't mean that you are elderly these days, does it? I mean, a lot of people would say, probably because I'm getting older these days, that 70 is simply the new 50. But you've got sometimes decades ahead of you to live, and often people are still working at that point. So there is something just quite oldie-worldy about this couple. They feel very much like a reassuring grandparent-y type couple. Now, also, Lois had this real passion for history. She apparently had a real interest in the royal family, but she did have some struggles. So first of all, she suffered with anxiety. She also suffered with agoraphobia, and she also had traits of OCD. So of course, we can see there they're all on the anxiety spectrum. And those classifications could mean that going out would be quite problematic, because clearly anxiety is a real limiter for some people. But throughout their lives, one of the stalwarts is that they had a great deal of pride and joy in their family. They used to apparently absolutely love to go on trips to the seaside, and one of the things that they'd hoped to do during their retirement was to move to the coast, which I genuinely think is something that 99.9% of us, as we get older, imagine. I'm just going to move to the coast. I'm going to listen to the sea. I shall take walks on the beach. I know it's not necessarily something that we realise, because it's really expensive to move to such locations and that limits us. But I just think that psychological dream that so many people share is this idea of a quieter, calmer, more serene lifestyle. And I think most of us can associate that connection with going to the seaside. I think it reminds us of childhood, of innocence, of possibility, and when you're older, of sanctuary. Now, as I've said, Lois and John, they had 5 children together, but 4 of those children, all daughters, they'd moved out a long time ago, but their youngest daughter, Virginia McCullough, she'd literally been living with them rent-free in that home that they lived in Great Baddow near Chelmsford in Essex. Now, I do not have an issue with children staying at home. I am not judging this person because she had chosen to remain with her parents. In fact, I think interdependency is psychologically excellent. So I think that when families do stay together, it helps with generational wealth. It means that there's always support networks if you have children. And also, it's really great to have family relationships that are close and cohesive. So lots of people, both in the Western world and in other areas of the world, choose to remain with their parents because it just is an easier ride sometimes for everybody involved. And if you also think about different cultures, shall we say Hindu, Muslim, etc., you will often find that families share space because it's just an effective way of maintaining money, making life easier, meaning that you just essentially always have somebody that you can rely on. So it's not that Virginia is staying there and that's a problem. At the end of the day, it can work. But with respect, Virginia McCullough is not there because she genuinely wants to be around her parents, because she has this interdependency idea and she's going to be able to support them and they're going to be able to support her. With Virginia McCullough, it's a one-way street, without a doubt. First of all, she didn't have a job at all. So she was basically reliant on payments from her father. And that says something about her father's nature. I mean, we all agree that when we have children, of course, they're our ward. We look after them, we take care of them, and we will be there for them in the difficult times. That's, in fact, what makes a good parent. But the idea that your child literally doesn't work and that you are just bankrolling them, even when they're in their 30s, is just something that's relatively unexpected. We would imagine that that person would at least find some kind of work so that they can bring in some economy to the household, particularly when that person is living rent-free, meaning that they're eating food, they're costing heating, and essentially they're draining the bank balance of the parents because they're doing nothing to contribute to that household. Now, apparently the elderly couple were quiet, and one of the things that was also noted about their neighbours was they were largely reclusive. And so they weren't necessarily active in the community. And of course, we all know what that means. If you're not active in the community, if people don't see you on a regular basis, then when you just don't seem to be anywhere anymore, it doesn't necessarily provoke any reaction because, hey, you weren't actively engaged or involved in that neighborhood anyway. But one of the things that was noted by neighbours, in spite of the fact that they're often very reclusive and people don't really know them that well, is that occasionally the peace of the neighbourhood in Great Baddow was punctuated essentially by the sound of Virginia McCullough screaming at someone. So people heard this vitriol just coming from home. Now, they don't know who she was shouting it, but I think we can just garner from the fact that she was living with her parents, so it was likely one of them. And what does that tell us about her personality? If she's not only living at her parents rent-free, if she's not only being bankrolled by her father, who's earned his money and saved for his retirement and is now being drained by her, she's also quite confident in the way that she can act around them. Because if she's screaming at the top of her voice to a point where people in the neighborhood can literally hear her, that demonstrates, yes, one could say an instability, but one could also say an abusive personality. Because you have got to be...
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Damn confident to feel comfortable screaming hysterically in a household where you are literally being paid for. Now, from 2019, apparently in the local area, what people believed was that the family had just become even more secretive. So all of a sudden, these people who aren't, as I said, massively active in the local area seem to just go off grid. So first of all, relatives are literally asked to stay away. Neighbours who had known them and friends who'd actually been involved with John and Lois had actually been told that they'd now left the whole area. So apparently they'd just upped and gone to the seaside where they decided to relocate. They were told that they'd gone to the Clacton area, which is on Essex's Sunshine Coast. It's a really nice area. Also, friends of the couple, they start getting postcards from Clacton. Now, on reflection, that's going to show a real sinister intent by the perpetrator in this case, but that's what they're receiving, these postcards from Clacton. So it's substantiating the story that they've left, even though it's really strange. Because we all make decisions in our lives. I have done some really spontaneous things. I've literally got on a plane one day and just gone to Europe and worked my way around it when I was a young person. It came from nowhere. I was a bit bored and I had a few quid to my name from a job I'd just left. And I thought, why not? Totally out of character for me back then. It does happen. But I didn't just do it without having a word with my mates. I wasn't like, just gonna leave the entire country, just do a bit of travelling around Europe by myself, get a job there for a year nearly. I obviously spoke to my parents, my sister, my brother, everybody who knew me. Everyone was a little bit weirded out by it, including me. Hadn't really thought about it till about 3 weeks later when I was there going, what am I gonna do? But the point is, you just have that frame of reference where you're having conversations with people. You let them know that hadn't happened. Apparently, Lois and John had just upped and left and moved. And again, that's strange because when you think about the neighbourhood and they start hearing the rumblings of that possibility, where was the removal van? I mean, when you move to the coast, albeit that's a lovely idea, I don't know, maybe you'll take your sofa. Maybe you'll sell your home. Because this couple, whilst they'd obviously done okay for themselves in life, John particularly had a great job in academia. It doesn't pay exceptionally well. Unless you win the lottery, you're not going to just be able to leave the home that's still present and hasn't been sold and just go and pop off to Clacton, which is an expensive area, to live out the rest of your retirement on your pension. It doesn't make any sense. But again, the thing about human beings is it's our nature on the whole to be nosy at times, but for the most part, to just accept what we are told. If my neighbour Chris, for example, told me his wife had left the area and gone to live in Essex, I'm not really going to think that much aside from, oh, I hope he's okay because I thought they were a happy couple. The reality is you're not questioning any further because verbatim you'll just accept that this person has told you a story. That story might seem a little bit strange, but hey, things happen. And the fact that the friends are getting those postcards from Clacton, that's reinforcing that, yes, it's odd they're not actually speaking to Lois and John, but hey, people have got a right to make choices in their life. But of course, the people sending that apparent postcard were not Lois and John. In fact, they weren't a couple at all. And like I said, even for people who would regularly see John, so John would go to the White Horse pub, usually on a Friday for a drink, and spend time with a friend. And even though that was a genuine regular occurrence, when he stops turning up and he's told this information that apparently he's left the area, he just didn't have the confidence to call the daughter in this case, Virginia's bluff, because at the end of the day, she's saying that this has happened. Who is he to question her? It's just odd. But it's not odd enough to make him think, okay, something sinister might have happened. And another thing that was clear is there was a strangeness about the house itself. So the curtains were always drawn in the home, which I think as well is quite sinister because back in the day, this is going back a long time, when I was a kid, in fact, this still happened, but many people will not be aware that part of the protocol many decades ago was that when somebody died, you would draw the curtains. It was a sign of respect. It was a sign of mourning. And to some degree, the very fact that those curtains are always drawn, for me, it symbolises death. Now we get to September 2023, and this is where everything starts to, shall we say, unravel. So Essex County Council safeguarding team, they speak to Essex Police. The reason that they do that is because John and Lois's GP at their registered practice had been an amazing GP, essentially. Because I can tell you now, and this is no disrespect to any doctors out there, but if you are a GP, how'd you get an appointment? Because I'm telling you, my GPs would not know if I did not go for 75 years. They literally wouldn't be aware of whether I was alive or dead unless they happened to be called out when I died. I think a lot of us can acknowledge that we don't feel that personal connection with our GPs as I did 20 years ago, but their GP at their registered practice was really worried. They hadn't seen them for some time. They'd obviously been managing the conditions that John and Lois were enduring. John hadn't come to collect medicine. He hadn't been for scheduled appointments. And during this period of time, when obviously the GP is concerned, is expressing concern as well and trying to get in contact with John Lewis, Virginia McCullough basically starts to say that there are all these excuses and she goes ahead and cancels those appointments on her parents' behalf. Now you can imagine immediately when that happens at the very beginning, no one's really going to be that concerned because at the end of the day, if your daughter calls to cancel an appointment for you, you're busy, the receptionist is going to do so because it happens all the time and there's literally nothing sinister behind it. And you know, you have a right to not go to the doctors if you don't want to go to the doctors, but there's a consistency about this. So it's not as if they're getting to speak to John or Lois after their apparent moving to Clacton. They just can't get in contact with them. And understandably, that starts to raise eyebrows in the doctor's practice. So fortunately, because this GP is so diligent and is genuinely thinking this is not making sense, and even if they are not coming to my practice, I am concerned for their welfare because they're making decisions that could suggest, shall we say, that they're on the decline mentally because maybe they aren't thinking about how important it is to look after their physical health, maybe something that's going on a mental health level that means that they're not taking time to consider what they need on a health level to keep them going. So it could be that they need some kind of investigation on a welfare level because they're not taking care of themselves any longer. However, it results in this missing persons investigation. So the police, understandably, when they're doing a welfare check, they go and speak to Virginia McCullough and they do that initially on the phone because, hey, it could just be miscommunication. GP could be completely wrong, and grown adults have an autonomy and right to say, I don't need to go to the doctors if I don't want to. So they just call to see whether they can speak to John or Lois, but they don't actually get to speak to either of them, and there is more. They just don't feel like the story that's being told to them's adding up, because it seems as if Virginia McCullough's parents just never seem to be in the area. And these are not people who are out jogging every morning. They're not out partying at the weekends. They're not involved in the local bridge club. You know, they're reclusive. They just kind of disappeared from sight. And they've also got these health issues. So to never be present seems very, very strange. Now, Virginia McCullough says, oh, the reason that you can't speak to my parents is the travelling. They'll be back in October. So she's trying to delay what will turn out to be the absolute inevitable. And also, just bear in mind when this begins, 2019, and where we are in the present point where the police start to investigate their concerns. It is 2023. And we all know what happened in between 2019 and 2023, because many of us are still emotionally and psychologically scarred from what happened during COVID. But what did it do? It created a pregnant pause, didn't it? In between life that was before and life that was afterwards. It means that we were forced to isolate from people that we loved. We couldn't see our friends. We couldn't see our family. Households couldn't mix. So there's this really strange interplay, like a chaos within the universe, where people haven't been in contact with others because essentially lockdowns happened and they went on for, I don't know, 6,928 years, or at least that's how it felt. So people haven't been on the lookout in the same way, because at the end of the day, people were being literally locked in their own homes. Also, bear in mind, we know that Lois had issues with the mental health, OCD, anxiety. You can imagine that she would have been super scared during that period of time. So it actually would make sense that she wouldn't want to go out. And John had his own issues. So it makes sense that he wouldn't want to go out for fear of catching COVID, and so on and so forth. And so that gives an opportunity for something terrible to take place without people actually being aware that it's happened. Now, like I said, the police are deeply concerned. It doesn't make sense that the McCulloughs have just disappeared off grid, that the doctor can't get in contact with them, that apparently they're never, ever around. And the only person that seems to have any contact with them whatsoever is Virginia McCullough, their daughter. We get to the 15th of September 2023, and what can I say? As you will have seen from the video, things start to get really, really serious. The police raid the McCulloughs' home in Pump Hill. They literally smash through the front door. And as you will have noted, that moment is captured on police body-worn footage.
Hello, mate.
It's all right.
Great.
No one in here at the moment.
Hold on.
The police.
Got it.
Stay where you are.
Stay where you are. Stay where you are. Show your hands. You here?
Jenny?
Yep.
Jenny?
Yeah.
Oh. The time is 12:12. You're under arrest for suspicion of murder against Jonathan McCulloch and Lars McCulloch.
Yep,
okay? She doesn't say anything, but in my home defence, she did not mention when questioned, so she doesn't want anything to do so. Okay? All right, your arrest is necessary for a prompt and effective.
Is there anything in the pop-up we should know about?
Yes, there is. Can I take you to it?
No, you can tell me.
Can we go in there for a second, just so I can tell you something?
Yeah.
Wants
to tell us.
The only reason I said I need to tell you something about what's upstairs on the top floor as well.
It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Is it here?
Yeah.
It's
my
face, obviously.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I know, but obviously,
you've
got to be careful.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Yep, okay. Obviously, I'll.
What about your mum?
A little bit more complicated.
Okay.
Can I? That's why I said, can I go upstairs and show
right,
you?
Can you explain?
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Service, please, because we're trying to preserve this. It's now going to be a scene. So we need to preserve this the best we can. So I don't want you to have you walking up there, all right? Because that's for your well-being as well as ours.
Oh, up.
Okay. So where will we find your mum? Where will we find your mum?
Okay, so upstairs there are about 5 wardrobes.
Yep.
It's behind the bed, but back next to the sink. That's the second one. I slipped spoil of those into his drink. There were about 2 or 3 drinks that I brought downstairs, they were basically, he didn't drink all of them, he only drank probably about 1/2 of 2, but when I went in the morning, this was before my mother, when I went in the morning early hours, I got up about 1/2 hour early, about 6 o'clock in the morning, came in and he was gone. Okay.
It's up to you if you want to talk.
Yeah.
The thing is, purpose of your arrest is for a prompt effective investigation as well as by questioning you. We can't do that here. It needs to be done at a police station, all right?
I did know that this would kind of come eventually. It's proper that I serve my punishment. So, yeah.
Okay, so Virginia, I'm just going to ask you this. This is what I've written down based on the information you just told us, because what we regard as a significant comment, because you've made it under caution, off your list.
By the way, they're my granddad's.
Okay, right, so I've written this, please. I, Virginia McCulloch, have informed police constables 77329 Brown and 79387 Bowers after entering my house on Friday, the 15th of September 2023, that I murdered my father, John McCulloch, who was stated was under a bed in the rear ground floor of the house, and my mother upstairs in a cupboard next to the sink.
Wardrobe. It's a double wardrobe.
Right, okay, I've written cupboard.
Wardrobe. It's like 4 wardrobes, but it's the one nearest the sink. Double wardrobe.
Pick up then.
Yeah.
What's significant as I've written down there here now, or I've just read out to you. Are you happy to sign that, to say that's a true account?
Yeah. Cheer up, at least you've caught the bad guy.
I'm not going to comment on anything. It's not my job to comment on it, okay? Because I've got to be impartial with everything, okay? So I'm not going to give any comments.
No, I deserve to obviously get whatever's coming sentence-wise, because that's the right thing to do. And that might give me a bit of peace. Also in the handbag as well, there's, and again, because you're probably going to need to know about it, there's a card in there, card one money, that's a bank card, where there's a lot of transactions that have taken place over the last few years, from money that pertains to my parents.
There is something quite disconcerting about Virginia McCulloch, because when you look at her, she just looks like a typical human being, doesn't she? She looks a bit like peaches and cream. You're not looking at somebody like her and immediately thinking to yourself, she is a bad human through and through. She just seems quite petite, quite eloquent, And yet the words that she is speaking are breathtakingly evil. Now, she is arrested on suspicion of murder immediately, and she is incredibly forthcoming with the information. So you will have seen she's telling the police that she's going to cooperate, and then she starts to tell the truth about what has happened in what can only now be described as that house of horrors. She tells the police that the bodies of both of her parents are in the house. She even directs the police to exactly where her parents' bodies have been hidden. She talks about the fact that her father's body is downstairs under a bed. They described it as like a makeshift mausoleum. And her mother's body, well, that was upstairs in a wardrobe next to a sink. And believe me, the way that her mother died is incredibly distinct to the way that her father was murdered. Now, she confesses at this point that she was the person who killed them, and she describes how she kills them. So she had done practice runs. Let's be clear about this. She'd initially decided that she was going to drug and kill them, as she wanted to know the kind of measuring that would prove fatal. So to do that, she'd done some practice runs placing drugs in her father's and mother's drinks, but she hadn't actually killed them on those occasions. But when she succeeds, essentially, she poisons her father's drink and feeds that to him, and then he dies. She finds him dead. She deals with the body. Then she has the mother to deal with. But even though she has drugged her mum, her mother hasn't actually drank the entire drink, and so instead she decides to do it a different way. Now, in the body cam footage, you'll see that she's saying, "I did know that this day would come eventually." And then for me, there is something that is so highly disrespectful and so chillingly evil and so representative of the personality that we're dealing with. She says, "Cheer up. At least you've caught the bad guy." When you hear her say that, "Cheer up. At least you've caught the bad guy." It's as if she is so aware of exactly what she did, of the premeditation value of her actions, that she instantly recognises the police are going to be glad that they've got this woman who's now responsible for a double homicide. And that, of course, to a degree, there is a level of celebration when the police capture murderers because you want them off the streets. But they're not going to be sitting there smiling when they've got two people murdered in the home of this woman who's their daughter. There's no cause of celebration in that moment. The police are dealing with something that will be so outside their expectation level. Parricide is rare. The killing of parents is rare, because for the most part, we love our parents. And you know what? For the most part, even when our parents are bastards, we still want to love them. We still wish it were different. That's why so many people have attachment issues, abandonment issues, because your parents, you wish, will make you feel safe and will see you as the best human being that you are and support you. And when they fail to do that, that doesn't mean that you don't crave that they would. The last thing you're going to go and do is kill them. And bear in mind, if you do some research online, because it is quite hard to find a lot of details about this case, it's one of those where you do have to go down quite a lot of rabbit holes. One of the things that's noted in certain forums, for example, and obviously I never take what's talked about in forums as verbatim, but just to bring in some of the suggestions that have been made online from people who claim to know them, and with respect, some of the details that they're giving do suggest that they actually did know the couple and did know Virginia McCullough, is that she had a strained relationship with her mother. And the suggestion is that her mother was abusive to her when she was growing up, and therefore there was this vitriol and rage that she held towards her mother, which is why she killed her in a different way, which we'll go into. I would say what we can absolutely note about Virginia McCullough is that she's a compulsive liar. So I am not going to believe that I can take those suggestions as truth. And also her siblings talk a very different story. Now, ultimately, of course, I will concede that many times on my channel, I have talked about the fact that abusers will often select an individual in a family to be abusive to, because it means that the other individuals around them will be treated better, and that defends that person who's abusing when people investigate, because everyone's like, no, they're the best parent in the world. But I'm telling you, from what I understand and from reading the judiciary reports, that I believe that this is just something that Virginia made up. I think Virginia McCullough has been, from day one, an absolute liar, and she will say whatever is required to say to make sure that she plays out this idea that she isn't the most evil person, that she's not the worst person in the world, that in fact there are reasons behind her actions. And I would say that's BS, because I know, you know, and we all know that there are millions of people who genuinely are horrifically abused. I've covered many cases on this channel where children have been brought up being sexually molested, violently attacked, neglected in the most terrible of ways, and they've gone on to be amazing humans, and that is 99% of those individuals. So this idea that even if it were true, and like I said, I don't believe it is, but even if it were true, that that would give reason to actually go ahead and murder your parents makes no sense at all. The very fact that she's using that term, cheer up, at least you've caught the bad guy, well, that says, you know what, Virginia McCullough, you know you are. You know what? You're admitting in this moment that you actually are the bad guy. You're not saying there's a reason for this. You're not saying, listen, I've done the worst thing in the world because they did A, B, or C. You're saying, yeah, you got me. She also said, I know I don't seem 100% evil. No, Virginia McCullough, you don't seem 100% evil. You seem 87% evil. Let's be honest, we can all be okay even when we're a serial killer some of the time. As you'll have seen from the video, she talks about the fact that she deserves to get what's coming. She feels that that's the right thing. And then she actually says those words, it might give me a bit of peace. Really? It might give you a bit, because that's the important bit, isn't it, Virginia? That's the important bit. The important bit is that you get a bit of peace. So, oh, you know what? I murdered my parents horribly, brutally. But at the end of the day, I've been struggling with it, you know? It was a matter of time before you guys caught me. And I'm like, oh, what a relief. Maybe I'll have a little bit of peace because I don't have to worry about it anymore. The egocentricity of that statement speaks of a personality disorder that is so antisocial, it is of a volume level 9 billion decibels of. Honestly, it just shows you that all she is thinking of, even in that very moment where it's about her parents and her siblings who've now lost her parents, all she can do is think about saying, you know, I'm not totally evil, but at least now you know, and you can all celebrate, I can just feel that sense of peace and that makes me happy. And bear in mind, that is her mindset, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. Now, she also said to the police at this point, they'd find a bank card where lots of transactions would have taken place, and all of those transactions came from her parents. Because, yeah, she wasn't just being paid for by her parents. She wasn't just being allowed to live rent-free in their home. She wasn't able to eat the food that they provided and just be grateful. No, 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 no. Virginia McCullough wanted more. She wanted their money. This is financially motivated, without a doubt. And again, what does that speak to you of regarding antisocial personality disorder? An individual who has a lack of remorse, a willingness to exploit, is predatory in nature, and literally, once found out, really isn't that bothered at all. You know, get away with it for as long as you can. When it happens that you found out, well, deal with it then. In the meantime, let's enjoy spending. McCullough was then obviously taken to the police station. She told the police where the kitchen knife was, which she then described was a murder weapon, because whilst her father had indeed been poisoned to death, her mother just wasn't as lucky. And when I say lucky, clearly it's in the context of they got murdered, so there's no luck involved there. But when it comes down to how you experience the murder, well, her father was luckier because he didn't get knifed or hammered to death where her mum did, which is horrific. In fact, she says to the police, you know, this is grisly to talk about, but there's a hammer hidden in the home under the stairs and it would still have blood on it. So she hasn't even bothered cleaning up the weapons that were used. She's just in a state of denial to some degree. She's acted this way and then she's compartmentalized it. Now, when it came down to confirming exactly how John McCullough and Lois McCullough had died, he was 70 at the time of his death. He'd been fatally poisoned, and Lois, who was 71, she'd also been poisoned. These were with prescription medications. But then she had not died. She hadn't drank enough of it. So Virginia McCullough battered her with a hammer and stabbed her to death. Now, that's one of the reasons why certain people online are saying, well, this will be because there's a relationship with abuse and therefore it was more intimate. She murdered her in this way because she was angry and rageful. You can say that. But equally, you can say, no, she just didn't die on time in the way that Virginia McCullough wished for her to die. And that's a big problem, because that would mean that her mother would wake up and be like, where's John? And then Virginia McCullough would have to say, well, John's dead because I've poisoned him. So that's the incentive. That's the rage, because this woman is thinking, oh my God, I've got a problem that I've got to deal with. And therefore, I have to figure out how effectively I can do that. And using a hammer or stabbing her is going to be an effective method. But that is so intimately brutal, isn't it? We're talking about the woman who birthed her, her final moments being at the hands of that person who should have done everything in her power to protect her. You know, as a child who's in her 30s, you would imagine that she would be deeply concerned about the welfare of her parents, and yet here she is, brutally slaying her mother in the most despicable and absolutely agonising of ways. Now, she ends up hiding John's corpse in what they described as this crudely built tomb. It was made out of breeze blocks and blankets that was described in court as almost a bed. The corpse of Lois, well, as I said earlier. L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
She was stashed differently, so she was stashed behind sleeping bags and duvets in an upstairs wardrobe. And when they started to look through the property at the documents to figure out, you know, what was the motivation, what was going on where Virginia McCullough was concerned, they start finding that she'd just desperately been trying to keep from her parents an enormous black hole of debt. So Virginia McCullough was spending so much money that she didn't have and wasn't entitled to, and it was just becoming more and more obvious that at some point John and Lois are going to realise she's stealing from them. So she had gone so far with this, by the way. She'd forged letters, because what she's trying to say to her parents is, oh my God, you're being scammed. So she's creating these letters, which is this narrative that is an absolute lie, exploiting her parents' good faith and belief systems by suggesting that they've been scammed out of money, that she is only informing them of what's being discovered because they have clearly been stupid, as far as she'll be saying, and lost money by getting involved in things that they believed were authentic but have actually turned out to be financial cons. Now, unbeknown to John and Lois, she's out there just spending their cash, and she is racking up debt after debt after debt, all in their name. So she's got loads of large credit card debts, and we all know what that means. Over a period of time, you can get away with not paying, but then the bailiffs are going to get called in, people are going to close on those loans, etc., and you have got a whole heap of problems. You're going to get taken to court, you're going to get CCJs, you can't escape from it forever. So she's telling John and Lois they've been subject to fraud, or that they've been banking failures. She even said they've been hacked. She even invented police and corporate investigations All, of course, with promises of repayment, because you can imagine that for John and Lois, this is terrifying. You know, they're losing money, it's hemorrhaging, and they don't know what to do. But unsurprisingly, every time these repayments are meant to occur, they just get delayed again and again. Also, bear in mind, Virginia McCulloch didn't have a job. She was apparently very creative. She was an artist. But she starts lying about actually having employment. So she's now making up that she's got a job. Why is she doing that? Well, I'll tell you why she's doing that. Because her parents have been bankrolling her for a long time. So if she's suddenly flush and she's out there getting new outfits, buying new treats, having new makeup, having her hair done nicely, they're going to be like, where are you getting that money from? So she has to lie that she's got jobs at times, because otherwise there won't be an explanation for her having cash. Also, she told her parents that she had medical conditions, which, unsurprisingly, she did not have. So everything that comes out of her mouth is a lie. It is that saying, you know she's lying if her mouth is moving. That absolutely should have a picture of Virginia McCulloch next to it. That should be the definition. There should just be Virginia McCulloch with that. If her lips are moving, you know she's lying, because that is 100% who she is. And these kind of people are just so dark and dangerous, because they will lie, black is white, they will lie, up is down, and they will do it without even blinking. They just don't have the feedback that you and I have. They can just do whatever they need to do in the moment to get whatever they need to achieve, and they have no care or consideration about the impact or consequences. Now, of course, to her parents, and even to people who knew her in the local area, she's basically claiming that she's working really hard to becoming an artist. She's telling everyone, you know, this is going to bring a financial benefit to everybody, because obviously I'm going to be, like, so successful. And this, again, demonstrates the kind of people that John and Lois were. We all want our children to live their dreams. But Virginia McCulloch is in her 30s. And again, you can change your career. You can suddenly become a millionaire at 50. J.K. Rowling's a great example of that. It wasn't until after 40 that she went on that road to becoming a billionaire. It takes time sometimes. But if you're a parent and you're letting your child, who's claiming that they're a creative, live with you and you're paying for them, it's because you believe in their best. I mean, I'm sure that this resonates with a ton of you who've got your own children who might have, shall we say, big dreams, and you definitely want to support them. You want to give them time to achieve it. But it doesn't mean you won't be like, do you know what you could just do in between? Just gonna throw it out there. Could you just get a job a couple of days a week? Just a light job. Just bring in a bit of cash, because you eat quite a lot. And that way, I will feel like, even though I'm helping you pursue your dream by letting you live rent-free, you will also be able to, I don't know, pay for your own Mars bars. You know, that's the kind of thing that most of us would do. We want our kids to pursue their dreams no matter their age, but we also want them to have some responsibility and accountability, and being financially responsible means having a job. But like I said, she's doing none of that. She's just claiming that one day down the line, she's going to be so successful. I mean, the arrogance there is unbelievable anyway, isn't it? So successful as an artist that the whole family will benefit. Like, it's that easy. Like, I know a lot of really talented artists, and they work because of their love for their work, and they don't make a lot of money, you know, because there's a lot of competition out there. And Virginia McCulloch isn't demonstrating that she actually has the acumen, or even, shall we say, the motivation at this point to achieve very much whatsoever, but she's spinning a yarn, because that is something that she's very consumer. In fact, if you could get paid to just be a liar, I think she'd have done really well. I think she'd have been probably hitting millionaire status. Now, in total, Virginia McCulloch benefited from £149,697. So £149,697 she stole from her parents, both before, during, and after the murders. So she was just using them as a cash cow, even after they were dead. So that is basically a combination from the pensions, the amount that she was taking out on credit cards, and also she was selling their assets. So between 2019 and 2023 alone, Virginia McCulloch spent $21,000 on online gambling. Let that sink in. £21,000 on online gambling. I mean, just going to throw out there, just like your art, Virginia, I don't think that gambling's for you. I think the fact that you spent 21 grand on it probably demonstrates that you're not the most proficient or efficient in this area. What does it tell you about her mindset, though? It tells you about an individual who likes those dopamine hits. That's what gambling does. That's why people get attached to it, because you're always thinking, maybe I'll win big. And some people will say, well, she got herself into a state financially, so she's thinking, hey, maybe there is a magic solution, a silver bullet that can deal with this. Maybe she can win big, and then her parents won't find out, and so on and so forth. No, this is a woman who desperately wants to feel like, firstly, she can do what she likes. Secondly, that she doesn't want to take responsibility for everything or anything. But thirdly, likes the way it feels to just have a little bit of a flutter on the gambling sites, because it makes her feel like excited. And that will certainly be the reasoning behind her mindset. Now, of course, as I've said, one of the things that really interplays in this crime is that COVID lockdown, because this means that it gives an explanation for those large periods of time that the McCullers were not seen. And her siblings, because obviously she's got four female siblings as well, one of the things they've said about her was that she was a really socially awkward individual and that she was literally a compulsive liar from day one. Neighbours, even though they're not a family who are really involved on a community level, neighbours said one of the things that really stood out about Virginia McCullough was she was just pathological in her lying, and she did the weirdest things. So she actually entered a shop on an occasion wearing a false pregnancy bump. This is in the summer of 2023. So she's literally gone out of her way to buy a false pregnancy bump and to just wander around with it. It's a whole episode of Dr. Phil, isn't it? That's a Dr. Phil episode right there, you know, where you get them on there saying, well, I've been pregnant for 36 months. And even though they scan them and there's no baby in them, they're like, you just didn't scan me right. And it's the same when it comes down to the fake pregnancies. We hear about it all the time. These people who genuinely go out of their way feeling that they get attention, they get positive strokes, people notice them in a different way when they're pregnant, but they're not actually pregnant. And the fact that she wants to coerce people into this narrative of lies, again, it's antisocial. When you think about psychopaths, sociopaths, etc., that's what they do. They don't care really whether they're getting found out. They don't care if you believe them or otherwise. They just like playing the game. They're casting you as an extra in the movie that you didn't even know you were in. And the irony is, and I kind of love this, is the shop owner didn't believe her. So it wasn't as if she was pulling the wool over their eyes. And that means that there has to be a history. If you were somebody working in a shop or owning a shop and somebody walks in and they've got a pregnancy bump, the thing you're going to say when they tell you they're pregnant is congratulations, that's amazing. There has to have been something historical about her nature, something quirky and weird about the way that her personality is, the way that she psychologically interacts with the world around her, that means that even in that moment, that person behind the counter thought, this is BS. And the guy, Paul Hastings, who owned the Vines Fruiterers in the Vineyard shopping centre, which is very close to the family's three-bedroom house, they were also suspicious. They were quoted as saying she would come in with false pregnancy bumps in the months leading up to her arrest. She showed us a scam picture in a clear wallet, but I really didn't believe her. So she is creating this ruse, and one of the reasons for that is it deflects. Just think about that. You know, your parents haven't been seen for ages. You're suddenly pregnant, and hopefully people are going to take the emphasis of, where are your parents? How are your parents? And it will be, oh, when's the baby due? How are you feeling? How's the pregnancy going? It's a really effective deflection mechanism. And it also, of course, speaks to another part of her personality, which is a fantasist. A fantasist is somebody who will dream these things up and live them out. She's a very extreme fantasist because she's going ahead and doing it. Now, around the same time that she's going around with this fake pregnancy bump, she starts telling people that she'd been attacked by three intruders in her back garden. Now, what was said by people who saw her after that apparent intrusion, and let's be real, if that happens to anyone, you know, if you happen to be attacked by three intruders in your back garden, that's terrifying, and everybody would have compassion and empathy. But also, let me tell you this, if somebody is attacked by three intruders in the back garden, oh my God, I've got a lot of questions. So first of all, why were they in the back garden? Was it a home invasion going wrong? Secondly, why were you in the back garden when they were there. And I suppose some people could say, well, maybe they went out to check whether there were people in the back garden. I would say, as a single petite female, that's probably not the actions you would take. But okay, let's go down that road. Are we saying that the three people, which I'm going to assume would be male in the back garden, attack her and she isn't, shall we say, gravely injured? Because if three guys attack you in your back garden, they're going to give you a kick in, if that's the case. They're not going to lightly abuse you. That just doesn't happen. We all know that. You know, there's no people who are coming to do something bad, either to your home or to you, who lightly attack you. You know, you are going to need a hospital job. You're going to have the ambulance there. You're going to hope that one of your neighbours is going to come over and pick you up. They're going to kick your head in, because that's what these kind of people do. Not to her. No, apparently, three men who attack her in the back garden, the injuries that she had were apparently really geometric, and she actually just had a straight slash marks on her face. So it's just not the way that those injuries would play out. But I am drawing out that the injuries do not make sense, and actually that's validated and verified by the people who saw her and met her afterwards. One neighbour actually said, supposedly happened in the early hours, but they also said, you wouldn't have confronted people in those circumstances. Absolutely, listen, guys, I know there are some of you out there now who are like, you're wrong, Emma. You're getting your 22 caliber out your drawer and your baseball bat. Because get it, in other countries, for example, if there are people coming at you, going to intrude your home, they're in your back garden, well, they better be running because you're going to be able to take them on. And I know that guys watching this might be saying to themselves, no, I would actually go out and confront these people that are in my property or in my garden. But just a low-level person like me who really doesn't want to get engaged in kind of conflict and certainly is aware of my physical frailty compared to three men, there is no way I'm going to be opening my back door and being like, you know what, get out of my garden. Because firstly, I've now opened my door, so I've given them a direct route in. And secondly, I'm going to get my head kicked in. I'm going to call the police. Hello, police. Three men in my back garden. What do? Don't go near them. We're on our way. That's what would happen. But anyway, nope. Virginia McCullough went out there, got into an altercation, came off worse, and is going around telling people. And she went as far as to speak to the police, and the police go around, as they would, to interview her about it. Now, a neighbour said that at that point, they in the area believed that this was just an absolute yarn that was being spun and that she had made the whole thing up. But there's some other odd behaviours where Virginia McCullough is concerned in the neighbourhood. So she would turn up at people's houses with things that she bought from nearby shops and just leave them there. She'd knock on, hand them over, and leave them on the doorstep if you weren't in. And neighbours said you would just sometimes roll your eyes and let her words come out because she'd just be talking BS. And those neighbours found it very awkward that she would leave these things because firstly, they weren't in need of food, they weren't in need of gifts. But one of the neighbours said it was pretty obvious to me that she needed help. She buys things for you, she leaves them on the doorstep.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
It says sometimes there would be chicken and rice or whatever she bought from the takeaway, sometimes donuts or coffee from Greg's. That's not how any normal person would behave. And I think that's really gracious of that individual to describe it that way. I think that's a really kind way of describing it because all I see is massive manipulation. Massive manipulation. If you know you've murdered your parents, if you know time is passing. People are going to become more and more aware that they've not been seen. The story you've told that they've apparently moved to Clacton, you want that to be taken seriously. What are you going to do? You're going to be like, oh, I'm so really nice. I'm a really nice neighbour. I'm a really nice neighbour. But just think about it. If you are an individual who's a psychopath, for example, you are aware that you want people to see you differently from that. You don't want to be walking around going like, yeah, I'm a psychopath. I'm a psychopath. I'm definitely the kind of person who would kill my parents. Because like, that's not going to work for you. So because you don't understand people, bear that in mind as well. You don't understand people. Emotionally, you just can't connect in the way that you and I can connect right now. You just don't have that empathy. So therefore, you're figuring out, ooh, what would a good person do? How do I seem like a good person? Okay, I'll take the cash that I'm nicking from my parents, now they're dead. I will buy things from shops and I will ultimately go and give my neighbours these gifts. Remember what it was like when we used to have the Harvest Festival. We did in the UK, this Harvest Festival. I'm sure Christians around the world would have done it, where we would basically put together nice little hampers for the elderly in our area. It's how you knew you were elderly, even if you weren't elderly, because back in the day when I was at primary school, Mrs. Bridge down the road, I think she was about 58, and I decided that she should be the recipient of my hampers. And looking back, I think it was just highly insulting, but I would go round with my box of baked beans and other dried goods and hand it over as a good little Harvest Festival child. And that's what we did once a year, and it felt weird even then, but we did it. But if you're trying to act like a good person, you don't know how to be one because it's not in your nature. You think giving people things, that's nice. So she's overplaying it. She's going and giving things to those neighbours to be like, look what a great person I am. How many other people give you hampers of things? How many other people leave things like donuts on the doorstep? Yet none. And the reason for that is it's really weird behaviour. No, it's good behaviour. I'm being a good person. I'm leaving you gifts on your doorstep. I don't really know you and I don't need those donuts. And I'm going to be honest with you. You freaked me out a little bit because I've seen you wearing a fake pregnancy bump and I'm thinking maybe those donuts aren't safe. Have the donuts. I'm a really good person. It's what good people do. Eat them. Anyway, I'm not saying it played out like that. In my head it did. But it's not how a normal person would behave, is it? But it is how somebody who's trying to seem like a good normal person may when they don't understand how good normal people behave. Now, as I said, when she said that she got assaulted by those three people in her garden, Essex police investigated it. They filed the case away because apparently they pursued every possible line of inquiry. So they were like, let's look at CCTV. None. Let's see whether anybody in the area witnessed it. No, nobody. Let's see whether anybody heard. Oh, nobody heard anything. What's that? You found some donuts on your doorstep. That does seem weird, but I don't think that's to do with the intruders. No, we can't turn up anything because clearly it didn't happen. Now, Mr. Sargent, who was 68 at the time that he was interviewed, he was one of the people who was constantly getting those unwanted gifts. And he literally repeatedly told Virginia McCullough, can you please not give them me? I don't want them. I don't need it. He said sometimes it would be enough Chinese takeaway for 3 days. And sorry, this kind of made me giggle when I read it, because even though it's completely unfunny when you think about the context of what I'm talking about, it's just the way that this person responded to that Chinese takeaway. They said, I would sometimes have to get a friend round to help eat it all. So ridiculous overplay of being a good neighbour on Virginia McCullough's part. He also said other times he'd come back from bike ride, find donuts there. Clearly Virginia McCullough doesn't realise that somebody going for a bike ride is probably not going to want 4 donuts. That's why they're on a bike ride, because they're healthy. And he said to her, I kept telling her I wasn't hungry, but it didn't make any difference. Sometimes she'd give me bottles of drink, like Southern Comfort, even 2 cherry trees in a pot. She gave me DIY equipment, such as door wedges, to help in door hanging. She gave me 2 different sizes of brand new pruning saws. I mean, this is bizarre behaviour, isn't it? And then apparently other people in the neighbourhood, they got flowers, they got plants in pots, and they said that it always felt like she was trying to buy friendships. And I would say it's not that she's trying to buy friendships at all. She's trying to seem like a nice person. She genuinely is. And I appreciate that some people will say, oh, it's kind of sweet when somebody goes ahead and takes something nice for a neighbour. And I would agree. I would absolutely agree. If any of my neighbours who are watching this would like to bring me some gifts, I will be open to such things. But that's because I actually know my neighbours and they're nice. And if they were bringing me something over, it would be coming from the goodness of their heart and not because I want to cover up murders. And it would be minimal. It would be minimal. When I had my baby, of course, they came round and gave me a card and some of them gave me a present. It was contextual. We get cards at Christmas. It's contextual. It's really weird when people do this, like I say, overplay of behaviour because they're trying to cover up what's really going on in their personality. There was another neighbour who said, I got a bottle of drink. It was alcohol, but it was also something I would never have. Another time I got flowers. They were very nice, but it was really awkward because I genuinely didn't know what they were for. Well, I can tell you what they were for. They were for Virginia McCullough trying to cover up the fact that she was an evil murderer. That's it. End of. Now, apparently, another thing that Virginia McCullough was highly paranoid. She felt constantly that people were spreading rumours about her. She was at some points convinced that the Ring doorbell at the family home and the Wi-Fi router had been hacked. And some of you from the inside looking in may think, well, maybe that's an evidence of psychosis. This is somebody in mental decline, an individual who is struggling with their environment because they're seeing, hearing, feeling things that aren't actually there. And of course, that could be the case. But I would argue counter to that, that if you have murdered your parents, you're going to be suspicious. You're going to be paranoid. And the more stressed you are, the more paranoid you begin to feel, then the more likely you are to create these delusions because you got something to hide. You got two bodies to hide. So you're worried that people are listening and hearing. And yes, that can certainly exacerbate some psychiatric issues. But it comes down to the root of the cycle that's occurred, the chain of causation, shall we say. She's killed people. Of course, in the back of her mind, she has the fear. That's why when the police come to her home, she basically is saying that she's kind of glad that it's come to an end because she has been stressed about the fact that she's only got a period of time before it gets found out. And she's been imagining that and perceiving that possibility. And yes, going about these bizarre and absurd behaviours to try to manage and deflect. But ultimately, she's known. So that could absolutely, on a stress level, have led her to become more paranoid and suspicious and even to trip into more of the psychiatric issues that are associated with that. But it comes down to her actions, not to her mental health. Now, at Chelmsford Crown Court, Virginia McCullough admitted the murders. So she pled guilty. She said that the murders took place between the 17th and 20th of June 2019. Of course she did. There was no way she was ever going to get away with it. It was her spending the money. The bodies were in the home. She was living with them. There could not have been anybody else involved. So it would have been ridiculous to say not guilty. Also, it would have been very, very hard to have said not guilty by reason of insanity because she has been somebody who's premeditated the killings and then she has gone about pretending that the parents are still alive and creating this narrative of lies. And that does not demonstrate somebody who's been in mental decline. It means that she has been very calculating and very manipulative. Now, during the sentencing, the impact statements were read out by her absolutely devastated family. So three of Virginia's siblings actually put statements to the court. One said, "Our parents were completely blameless victims." They added that their sister had deprived them of their retirement dream. Another sibling said that she felt utterly sick to her core. And that Virginia always had said that mum and dad were fine, had made up lie after lie after lie about their daily activities. The third sibling said the only mantra that they had was that as long as their children were safe and happy, then they were happy. They went on to say, "You've left a hole in my heart forever, and a piece of me died with them the moment you took them from us." In a letter to Virginia McCullough that was read out in court, one of the siblings expressed the profound disbelief and hate for Virginia McCullough. They said, "The evilness and vindictive nature of your actions has rocked our family to its core." And in a victim statement from Richard Butcher, that's Lois's brother, he said that his niece, the defendant, was very dangerous and what had happened undermined my faith in humanity. He said, "I keep thinking why. I feel I've been manipulated over the years to think my sister was alive." And he actually urged the judge to never Willis's niece, he said she would plan something else while she was in prison. And of course, she's going to have a lot of time in prison, so I can understand why he feels that way. Now, I have also seen a lot of comments online, because when I'm researching, I look at how people are feeling, and a lot of people are saying, what on earth is going on? Why didn't the family check at the end of the day? How can you not speak to your parents for over 4 years and then claim that you care about them? And I can understand those sentiments to some degree, because I understand that people always want to make sense of these crimes. But I also know that life doesn't work that way. People are busy in their world. People are going about their business. And at times that means that you literally don't have contact with family members for periods of times. Literally. Even though it can feel really strange when you're looking at the cold hard facts and go, well, all these months and years have passed, why weren't they in contact? You have to remember that there were certain issues on John's health level, also on Lois's health level, and the just disappearing from life was something that was probably contextual to a degree. So they may have always, since the girls left home, have had sporadic engagement with the parents. Doesn't mean they didn't love them. Didn't mean that they didn't care for them. Obviously, when they called the home, you had Virginia McCullough just lying, and she's compulsive in that nature, so she was probably pretty effective at doing it. And so the years passed. And also bear in mind that a big chunk of that is during COVID, where I know that some people were just Zooming all the time and on quizzes every Friday night with the whole social network. But people like me, I really didn't do very much whatsoever. I just worked in my home and people lost contact. So I don't think it's a fair representation to suggest that the family weren't involved or engaged in their parents' lives. It's more that there was just this culmination of chaos that was created by COVID, and Virginia McCullough absolutely took advantage of it. And bear in mind as well, Virginia McCullough was quite adept at pretending that she was indeed her mother at times, because she knew what her mother sounded like. She is also directly related genetically to her, and we often mean therefore that there will be similarities. She'll have known the intonation in her voice. For example, when my sister and I used to live together, I would answer the phone and people would think I was her, and likewise vice versa where she is concerned, because often in families you do have these similarities. Now, Christine Agnew Casey, she was the person who was representing Virginia McCullough, and she talked about the mitigating factors. Now, we all know what mitigating factors are. Mitigating factors basically aim to minimise the actions of the individual who carried out the crime. It looks at reasoning such as abuse. It looks at issues with mental health. And the aim there is to reduce the sentence, essentially. It's not saying that it isn't a serious offence. It's saying, OK, this is a very serious offence, but there are some reasons why you should not see this person as a cold-blooded killer alone. There are some reasons behind their actions that we should hear. So that particular KC said, well, first of all, they said that Victoria McCullough has said, I am happier person in prison than I was outside, which I don't know about you guys, makes me feel chilled to the bone that this woman is saying, now I'm in prison, now the game's up, now I've got this kind of functional environment where I have to behave, I feel happier because game's up. But also, what's happening? She's getting taken care of. I know that most of us cannot imagine anything worse than going to prison, having our freedom taken away, particularly when you're thinking about a very high-level prison where there are violent offenders and everything. But if you're a compulsive liar who can just, like, make your life up from the moment that you're in there, well, she's in the perfect environment. If you don't have to now worry about earning a wage because you're getting your 3 square meals a day, if you don't have to be concerned about relationships now because there are loads of people around you that you can just spend time with, you are suddenly in a place where it isn't as bad as you thought it could have been, and you haven't got that weight hanging over your head because you are financially exploiting two people who are dead. So I can understand that she weirdly feels happier in prison than she was outside. But that does not rest easy with any of us, because that's not how it should feel, is it? It was also brought up in mitigation that the defendant suffered from a personality disorder. Yes, I think we can all agree with that. I think probably psychopathic personality disorder would be the one that we're all kind of on the agreement level with. But she also suffered from autism and depression. I really hate the idea that they brought autism into this. I mean, with respect, there are so many people who are on the spectrum, and the last thing they are doing is going around murdering their parents. You know, autism and parricide does not have an effective research link. But I guess what they're saying is, well, maybe that's why she lied about everything, because she wanted to connect and she didn't know how to connect. And maybe she was doing all those overwhelmingly weird things, such as leaving donuts on doorsteps and alcohol on doorsteps and flowers on doorsteps. Maybe it was because she had an issue with communicating her emotions and that's why she did that. But also depression she allegedly had, and that left her feeling trapped. Really? I'm pretty sure probably the depression wasn't the reason that she felt trapped. I would imagine the fact that she killed her parents and was lying to everyone and literally had their bodies decaying in the home. Maybe that's why she felt trapped, you know, because of her own actions. It was also said she will accept the sentence of the court and knows that she must be punished. Ah, amen. Amen, Virginia McCullough. You're not all evil, are you? You feel that you must be punished, even though you've also said that you're quite enjoying prison. So is it actually a punishment? There was also a psychological assessment that was carried out by Professor Blackwood, who said Virginia wanted to get away from her parents and wanted freedom. She felt ostracised by her siblings and mentioned suicidal thoughts at the time. The intention of both deaths had always been non-violent. Sorry? Sorry, Professor. Sorry. What do you mean? I'm saying that at the end of the day, Virginia McCullough, she felt, you know, ostracised by her siblings. Do you mean the siblings that say that she was literally a compulsive liar her entire life? Yes. Yes, those siblings. The ones that are probably really sick and tired of the fact that she exploits her parents by being bankrolled by them, basically spending, I suppose, some of their inheritance, and also takes no responsibility and accountability for her life, and also that they can't believe a word she says because she's a danger around them because she can make anything up. Yes, those siblings. She felt ostracised from those siblings. So she ostracised herself from those siblings. No, Kay, I can see where you're going with that. But let's just go with the words. She felt ostracised and she felt trapped. So she felt ostracised and trapped. So the reasoning behind her behaviour was that basically it was everyone else's fault that she killed her parents. Yes, because she was ostracised and trapped. Can I just ask you about that? She didn't intend to kill them violently. No, there was no intention of violence. Why did she kill her mother violently? Because the poisoning didn't work. Is it not just that killing somebody, murdering them, is an act of violence? Well, on a spectrum of violence, it's less violent than some killings can be violent. But she didn't poison the mother. No, that one was violent. So you're saying that she didn't intend to kill them violently, but she killed one of them very violently. In fact, so violently that she used a hammer and a knife. Yes, that was violent. I'm just saying that before she violently killed her mother in a violent way, she was thinking that maybe she wouldn't have to kill her violently. But then when her mother hadn't died by poisoning violence, she thought, well, in for a penny, in for a pound, I'll just use a hammer and a knife and then violently butcher my mother. Right, okay, well, that report makes sense, doesn't it, Professor? Honestly, the intention of both the deaths had always been non-violent. Well, the minute that you violently kill one of them, although murder is violent, full stop, it was not non-violent. The judge described to the court how Virginia had basically stolen from her parents, she'd secured loans in their names, that she'd spent their money, that she'd lied to her parents about her employment, that she'd told them that she had all these medical conditions that she didn't have, and therefore there was premeditation, there was coercion, there was a willingness to manipulate people that should have been able to trust her, and ultimately they paid their price with their lives because of that. The judge actually said in the sentencing remarks, from March 2019, you started to contemplate killing both of your parents. You say that was because you felt trapped and you wanted to be free from them. I'm just going to stop for a minute and I'm going to say this. Virginia, yep. You know how you feel trapped and you want to be away from your parents? Yep. You do know that four of your siblings don't live with your parents? Yep. And all you need to do is just walk out of the door, go get a job, rent a home and move on with your life. But I'm trapped. You're not actually trapped though, are you? Because you are literally living rent-free in their home being bankrolled by them. Well, yes, that's why I'm trapped. I'm trapped because I'm doing nothing and they're paying for everything and I can't leave because I don't want to get a job and I don't want to move out like my siblings. So it's their fault that I am somebody who's basically using them for my own purposes and I feel that that's not fair. I should be able to have everything. Literally, it's bizarre. The judge went on to say, the reality is that you were trapped only by your own
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Honest behavior. You must have appreciated that it was only a matter of time before your thefts and dishonesty would be discovered. By the 17th of June, 2019, you were almost £60,000 in debt. On the evening of the 17th of June, 2019, it's at this point she actually placed a cocktail of prescription drugs in her parents' drink. So that's the date that they were actually murdered. The judge went on to say, that evening, you placed a cocktail of prescription drugs in their drinks. The following morning, you found your father dead in his bed. Your mother was also in bed. You hadn't put so many drugs in her drink and she hadn't drunk all of it. She was still alive, but you had a backup plan for that scenario and you put that plan into effect. You hit her over the head with a hammer. Her last conscious moment was the realisation that you, her daughter, had launched a murderous attack on her. She asked you, what were you doing? She suffered defensive injuries as she fought for her life. You stabbed her with a knife 8 times, including 7 stabs to her chest, resulting in her death. That morning, you went to the GP for help with a cut to your hand that you had sustained while stabbing your mother. But you said it was the result of an accident when cutting vegetables. Then you went to Chelmsford Town Centre to buy items to use to conceal your parents' bodies. You see, guys, she doesn't sound trapped, does she? She sounds deeply bloody manipulative and highly premeditative. And also, how is it non-violent? How can anybody take the word of a psychiatrist or psychologist who goes, she didn't intend to violently kill them. She killed her mother unbelievably violently. And to add insult to injury, on the 19th of June, so just like days after she's murdered her parents, she pretends to be a mother, gets a new credit card and PIN number. She uses that card to buy jewellery, to buy clothes, to then goes about hiding her parents' bodies. She puts them in sleeping bags. She places the mother in a wardrobe that she then seals up with tape. She later apparently partially obstructed the wardrobe with breeze blocks. And then she placed her father's body in what was described in court as a makeshift mausoleum, which was constructed from breeze blocks. After she'd killed them, she just began this intricate web of lies. So she started to lie to others from the day of their death. For example, she messaged one of her sisters from her mother's phone saying, your dad and I are at the seaside in Walton this week, mum, kiss. Then that night she sent another message, good night, mum, kiss. And she sent messages like that over the next few years. She even spoke to one of her sisters pretending to be her mother. Like I said, she was incredibly manipulative and she was very effective. She also cancelled family arrangements. She was frequently telling doctors and relatives that her parents were unwell or on holiday or they were away on lengthy trips. And she made calls to the police pretending to be her mother, just complaining about trivial matters. So she's trying to get this log that her mum's still alive. She also made calls to her GP pretending that she was her mother. And then after the murders, all she's doing is continuing running up these large debts on her parents' credit cards, spending their pensions. She actually took pension payments amounting to £136,000. In total, she took almost £150,000. Now, when the judge looked at this, obviously there was such a seriousness where this crime is concerned, because first of all, he had to consider how the offence involved a really substantial degree of premeditation. You know, she'd considered the murders for 3 months. She'd accumulated a large amount of prescription drugs. She bought a knife. Yes, psychologists, psychiatrists, reports. She bought a knife. I don't think she was thinking about being non-violent. I think she was thinking about being potentially really violent. She also had tested, as I said earlier, the effects of the drugs on her parents before she went ahead with the fatal dose. He also had to consider how the murder was done for gain, because it was all about gaining financially. So Mr. Justice Johnston described her actions as a gross violation of the trust that should exist between parents and their children. He also considered how both of the victims were vulnerable due to age and also to ill health, and that she was basically in a position of trust. She was saying that she was their carer. The fact that she concealed their bodies for so long, i.e. she wanted to get away with it, and the fact that she maintained all that while that they were alive. Also, the use of weapons on her mother, that was an aggravating factor. As I said, the judge looked at those mitigating factors I said earlier on, so the mental health issue, that she'd developed apparently systems of personality disorder, as I said, autistic spectrum, and may have had mild depression. That's what was said in the summing up. But she had apparently, since the offending, developed some psychosis. Like I said, that stress and what she did that will have exacerbated that. But the judge said, listen, there is no scope at all for finding that your mental health substantially reduced your culpability. He said there was no impairment of her ability to understand the nature of the conduct or to form a rational judgment and to be able to exercise self-control. So basically, she wasn't losing her mind at the time of the murders. Also, the judge noted that while she hadn't actually got some previous criminal record, when you look at the fact that that could be normally taken into consideration as a mitigating factor, it just doesn't hold where Virginia McCullough is concerned, because there'd been this protracted amount of time where she'd been stealing and committing fraud against her parents. So she was acting in a criminal way. And I suppose the one that we can all agree with is there is mitigation when it comes down to the fact that once she was caught bang to rights and admitted it, she cooperated with the police. But you have to. The police battered down a door, came in, and were going to find two dead bodies in the home. You can't be like, oh, I didn't realise. I didn't know. I just thought my parents had been in Clacton. You know, your mother was knifed to death. There's not a hope you could get away with that per se. So she had to agree that she was the person responsible, but that gets taken into account where mitigation is concerned. Now, he did accept that Virginia McCullough had some degree of remorse and apparently was feeling guilty and sadness and had recognised that what she did was wrong. But he also brought in the fact that I also think a lot of that sadness is down to your self-pity. And really, it's to do with your egocentricity and with respect. If you felt that guilty, I don't know, why don't do something a bit left field, like call the police and go, I would kill my parents. She didn't do any of that. She's just feeling sorry for herself. She didn't take any practical steps to actually acknowledge her remorse. She didn't hand herself into the police. She just spent years, literally years, covering up what she did. She also walked around pretending she was pregnant, because she is a very strange human being with a duplicitous nature who likes attention, makes up whatever she wishes to do to have that moment, and then just carries on regardless, even when all her neighbours think she's an oddball and please stop giving me donuts. It just doesn't make sense that she's remorseful at all. We get to the 11th of October 2024. Virginia McCullough is 36 at this point. She is understandably handed a life sentence at Chelmsford Crown Court for the murders of her parents, her loving parents who'd supported her in every way, shape or form. At this point, she was ordered to serve a minimum of 36 years, though a lot of people were calling for a full life tariff. A lot of people feel that she should have got the same as Joanna Denahay. If you haven't watched my Joanna Denahay video, why don't you? She is serving a full life tariff for her actions. Now, throughout the sentencing hearing, McCullough apparently stared at the floor emotionless, and it was apparently only when she listened back to the interview with police on how she described how she murdered a mother that she started to get upset. And on that interview, she's heard saying about her mother, she looked so innocent. She was just sat there listening to the radio. I did go in 3 times to build up some gumption, but I knew I had to get it done and can't hesitate. She was just staring at me in disbelief. I was hitting like someone badly playing the xylophone. Yes, I actually said those words. And I have said a lot of words on this channel. I have used language on this channel that perpetrators have used to describe their attacks on victims. I have never, ever conceived that I would say the words, I was hitting her like someone playing the xylophone badly. I mean, if ever you're going to be disassociated from an action, bringing a xylophone into the picture does just that. And again, it speaks of a very malevolent human being. Now, Detective Superintendent Rob Kirby from Essex Police, who was involved in this case, said, her actions were considered meticulous and carried out in such a way as to conceal what she had done for as long as possible. These were the actions of someone who had taken time to plan and carry out the murder of her parents in the interest of self-preservation and personal gain before living within metres of the bodies of her 2 victims for a number of years. Throughout the course of our investigation, we have built a picture of the vast levels of deceit, betrayal and fraud she engaged in. It was shocking on a monumental scale. McCullough lied about almost every aspect of her life, maintaining a charade to deceive everyone close to her and clearly taking advantage of her parents' goodwill. She is an intelligent and adept manipulator who chose to kill her parents callously and without a thought for them or those who continue to suffer as a result of their loss. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that there are 4 siblings who have now lost their parents. There are grandchildren who will never get to truly know their grandparents. There are friends who will never spend time with Lois or John, receive a letter from Lois, have a drink at the local pub with John because it was stolen. And it was stolen purely because of the selfishness, the egocentricity, the malevolence of Virginia McCullough. Parricide is rare, and thank God it's rare, and it's rare for the right reasons, because most of us have incentives to care for our parents, even when we have problems in our relationships. Virginia McCullough, she will be okay in prison. Because like I said, she's the kind of human being who is so predatory, she doesn't want to actually have to do much to receive a lifestyle. And prison will afford her that lifestyle. She'll be fed, she'll be watered, she'll be warm, she'll be able to come and go as she pleases. She'll be able to meet people on a transient level, therefore bullshit who she is, what she's there for, why she's in prison for the rest of the 30 years that she serves. The only thing we can hope is that she doesn't get to be freed at any point in the future, because her siblings deserve justice. All those people who loved and cared for the McCulloughs deserve justice. And it would be cold justice served if this woman, who I have just described, who was so calculated, egocentric, and disgraceful, ever gets to take a breath of air in the free world again. Absolutely shocking, guys. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below, and I'll see you again next time. Look after yourselves. That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe. Thank you.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.